Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your grace, for the fine day that we have today as we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you, Father, for fellowship around that word, Lord. We thank you for worship. We thank you all for the word of life, O Lord, in this hour that we have received from you, Father. Lord, it might strengthen us in our path as we go on this pilgrimage, O Lord, till we see Christ Jesus face to face. We know, Lord, you will always be with us and care for us. When we are down and out, Father, we be in any condition that which we are in, Lord, that we nevertheless should call upon the name of the Lord. And truly, Lord, teach us to pray, teach us to wait upon our knees, Lord, in a time like this, out of much that we should gain the strength of the Spirit of the living God to continue our walk with you. So, Lord, be with us right now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated and let us go to the book of 1 Kings. All right? 1 Kings chapter 6. Here we have, we dealt with King Solomon's already preparing to build the temple of the living God. And here in chapter 6, give the details of Solomon's building it in his fourth year. And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Zift, which is the second month that he began to build the house of the Lord. So the building of the house of God took place in the fourth year of Solomon's reign, in the second month when they are of the second month is a month after the first month Abib, that they began to build the house of God. Now we go right now quickly down to the verse 38 in the same chapter. Now we are not going into details about this building of the temple, but just to look at the temple sites and when it was built. Verse 38 says, and in the 11th year in the month Bu, which of course is also, which is of course the 8th month, after the month of Tishri. And in the 11th year in the month Booth, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building it. Now actually, 7 years is a round up figure, but actually right is 7.5 years. Okay, from the second month, alright, to the 8th month, second month of the 4th year to the 8th month of the 11th year is actually 7.5 months. But it takes another 1 year to furnish the whole temple. Alright, the building structure is one thing, but to furnish the temple with all the, you know, the 7 candlesticks, the table of showbread and lava and whatever is needed inside the building, it takes another year to furnish it. Alright, now we can go to 2 Chronicles. Now 1 Kings and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, they're actually one book each, but they're almost recording practically all the same event, some part of it. So let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 3 to 4 here we have. Now these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God. The length of the cubit after the measure was 3 score cubits, the breadth 20, and the porch. The porch that was in the front of the house, the length of it was according to the breadth of the house, 20 cubits. The height was 120 cubits. And he overlaid it within with pure gold. Now, we just want to look at the height. Now, we're not going to detail, as I said, it's magnificent temple. But the height of it is 120 cubits. Depending on the length of the cubit we are looking at, it's roughly about 18 to 20 story high. Now 18 to 20 story high is very high. Okay, this is the front part of the porch. Now, this is what we read over here in the book of Chronicles. But let us go right down to the last few verses and then let us look at this diagram or the clip for this size of the house of King Solomon. lower part, verse 17. And he raised up the pillar before the temple, one on the right hand and the other on the left, and called the name of the one that was on the right hand, Jakin, and the name of that on the left, Boaz. So now this temple, entrance of this temple, there are two big pillars. The one on the left is called Jakin. The other one on the left is called Boaz. Now, I do not know whether you have reference to that in your Bible or not, but the word Jakin means God established. Then the one on the right is called Boaz. Boaz means that God is strength. So there are two pillars that supported this, in the front part, two pillars that stands before you enter into the temple of King Solomon. Two huge pillars. One that means established. One means strength. Now I want you to know that this tabernacle or this temple of King Solomon actually is an oversized, we would say, is a larger than, a large size in the image of the tabernacle of Moses, the simple, humble tent that God had Moses built when they were in the wilderness. But this one here, of course, the temple is just more of gold, of wood, overlaid with gold, and is huge, and is bigger than a simple tabernacle. So now let us look at this tabernacle, alright? We just want to show it here on the video for you to see, so that you have at least a understanding of it. Alright? Now the interesting part of it is that the two pillars, one named Jakin and the other one named Boaz. Remember that the tabernacle of Moses depict the ministry and the life of Jesus Christ. Okay? And also depict the church and his ministry, because the whole tabernacle is supposed to be about the ministry of Christ, his death, resurrection, and for the whole body of Christ. Okay? So the same thing now that this thing, the temple of Moses sees already, with the building of this, temple of Solomon, they are also depicting the same. But now with these two extra pillars, meaning to be established, the other means strength. Now we know that, the tabernacle of Moses that depict Christ himself shows that Christ himself will establish his church as well as he is the strength of the church. Alright, so that's why we have these two pillars. And also, of course, in other sense, of course, the Old Testament, New Testament concept, the two witnesses concept. So that's why we have two. Now let us go on to chapter 7 of 1 Kings. Now after King Solomon built the temple, he also built his house. He also have other buildings. He have all other programs in building it. So let us go right down to now chapter 8. And we read from chapter 8 here, verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the father of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethamim, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priest took up the Ark. And they brought up the Ark of the Lord, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those that did the priest and the Levite bring up. And the King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel were examined unto him, were with him before the Ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. Now there are several thousands in one place. It says something like 22,000 or something like that, that they sacrificed to the Lord. That's a lot of animal being slaughtered that day. And the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the Ark, and the cherubim covered the Ark and the staff thereof above. And I drew out the staff, that the ends of the staff were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark except the two tablets of stone, which Moses put there at Horeb, where the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Verse 12. Then spake Solomon. The Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a set up place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about, and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and have with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name may be therein. But I chose David to be over my people. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David my father, Whereas it was in thy heart to build a house unto my name, thou did well that it was in thy heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build a house, but thy son that shall come with out of thy loin, he shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spoke, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sits on the throne of David as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Now here, we see this, that when the ark was brought in by the priests and put into this holy place, we have this presence of the Lord came down in the form of a cloud. As usual, of course, when you feel the presence of the Lord, it's impossible to minister. And so the priests just, you know, leave whatever they have to, and just continue worshipping the Lord. But in the dedication of Solomon to dedicating this house, it's interesting that we take note what he said. He said in verse 16, regarding that God has chosen no tribe of Israel to build a house, that my name might be there, but he has chosen David to be over my people. Remember that David was a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the son of David. Is that right? So he had chosen David to be over my people of Israel. Now, taking that as a type, think of that as Jesus Christ over the tribe, the church. Remember, the church is made up of different kinds of people. We're all from different tribes of the world anyway. The Indian tribes, the Chinese tribe, the Filipino tribe, to be over us. Okay, now he said it was in the heart of David, my father, to build a house. It was Jesus Christ was the one who was to build the church. Remember? Huh? He was the one, he says that, in my father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. Jesus Christ is building the church. That's why the two pillar he established, and he is the strength. He's the one, like David, the son of David is the one who established that church, that established the foundation of the church. He's the one who is the strength of the church. Is that right? But you notice, he said here, and the Lord said to David, No, you are not supposed to build it, but thy son. But who is thy son? Thy son, if you look into Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Alright? Wisdom have built a house. Wisdom have built a house. Who is wisdom? Many places in the book of the Proverbs, you will hear about wisdom. Huh? God by wisdom created the heavens and the earth. Wisdom is referred to as the Logos. Wisdom is pointing to none other than the one who is the Word. You understand that? So Solomon was the one who built the house. So Solomon was wisdom because he was the wise king. So he was the one that built the house. You understand that now? Alright? And so he said in verse 20, as truly it is, I build a house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. Alright guys, go to verse 26. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified which thou speak unto thy servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken to the cry, to the prayer which thy servant prayed before thee today, that thy eye may be opened toward this house night and day, even to the place which thou hast set my name shall be there, that thou may hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make unto this place. And truly it is now. Solomon said, Lord, is it truly that you can dwell on this earth in a house when the whole heaven and earth, a whole heaven cannot even continue? And yet you know what? It is true that the Bible said, as Job said, what is man that thou art mindful of? Or some smith says, what is man that thou art mindful of? Him that thou visitest. What is man? Who are we that you will come and visit us? Huh? And yet here you see this, Solomon said, oh Lord my God, you hearken unto the cry, to the prayer which your servant pray unto you. Your eyes may be opened toward this house, day and night. Now God watches over us day and night. And that's what thing is so true that is. God watches over Israel. God watches over us day and night. As King Solomon said, that's what it is, because we are his dwelling place. Because Jerusalem is a dwelling place of God. God dwells among his people Israel. God dwells among us today. But there are always conditions. Why don't us go to verse 60 and 61. Alright, what the Bible here is King Solomon still saying, that all the people in Israel may know that the Lord is God, Yahweh is God, Yahweh is Elohim, and there is no other God. Let your heart therefore be perfect. Now he's telling the people, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his stature, to keep his commandment as at this very day. Let us go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now, we read from this part here again, verse 1. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, and the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Remember, they offered this burnt offering as they dedicated the temple, and so the fire came down like it was in the day of Elijah when he consumed the offering. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of God filled the Lord's house. And all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down. The word saw here, remember, is Ra. Remember, okay, it's not Ayin. Okay, it's not Mare, which is the right word to say I see. But the Ra has the same meaning. It means either you see literally or figuratively. Either you understand a figure transitive and causative. That means you say, okay, now let's say that now, you remember that the whole of this kingdom of Israel in the day of Solomon is very big. Jerusalem is only a city. Now, if you go all the way up to the north, in the days of Solomon's kingdom, he even conquered the land of Hamath, all the way right up to the river Euphrates. That's something about 170 or 80 kilometers to the north. Right? Jerusalem going towards going to Egypt, southwestward, will be about 67 kilometers away. Now people from that place, all they cannot see. I mean, not everybody goes to Jerusalem. The people that actually go to Jerusalem are mainly those, the leaders. The leaders and the elders, they will be there for this important function. So those who are at Jerusalem saw the fire came and consumed the offering. Is that right? So these are passed down, and the rest of the nation said, yeah, we saw. Because if the few eyes see it, the rest would believe it. Now, here we are today. How many of us believe that Brother Branham did all those miracles? Did the angel came to him? And when he talked about, you know, the storm that goes away, huh? The fish that came to life. Okay? You believe it, right? We believe it. But do we see it? We believe it is causative because of what people saw and testified. Now the Bible, same thing. That Jesus prayed to the Father that they who do not see me, that they will believe in their word. that they preach, right? So we believe the word of the apostles. Is that right? It's causative to us. Because of what they say, they witness it, we believe it because we have a testimony from the Spirit of the Lord. You understand that? So the same thing throughout the land of Israel, they heard it. They saw it in a sense. Alright. Okay, let us go right down to verse 4. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000. 22,000 is 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. Now, there's a whole lot of slaughtering that day. Now, it is not just one day anyway. It's actually all total of 14 days. They have this celebration for 14 days. Huh? Alright? It goes right down to verse 8. Let's go to verse 8. And also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation, from entering in of the Hamath unto the river of Egypt. So all the way up there in Euphrates, all the way down to Egypt. Everybody in the land of Israel kept having these great festivals and feasting. And in the 8th day, they make a solemn assembly. For they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast last 7 days. And on the 23rd and 20th day of the 7th month, he sent the people into their tents. Now, if you remember Tishri, are you all familiar with Tishri? That's the 7th month. Alright? And that's when they celebrate all these other feasts together. Huh? The Feast of Tabernacles. And then on the 23rd day, which is actually will fall on, well, not the Sabbath. The day is, they said, the day after the Sabbath. Okay? The 23rd day of that month happens to be the day after the Sabbath. Then Solomon says, you all can go home. So they have a lot of great feasting on that day. Being a great day for them to worship the Lord, having this great building of the temple or the house of the Lord. Okay, verse 14 now. Here now, listen to what God said to Solomon. And I think that we also remember to read this very carefully. If my people, verse 14, 7, chapter 7, verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Verse 19. But if they turn away, but if you turn away and forsake my statute and my commandment which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it into a proverb and a byword among all nations. I mean, everything that, you know, we all know that we are saved by grace. But for blessing, for the sake of blessing, for God's blessing upon us, God guiding us or care for us, there is always condition. We cannot take God for granted. Oh, I'm a Christian. That's it. You know what I'm saying? And that's not why, if you look at today, the whole world of Christianity today. Well, it's just, like many people say, there's no difference between Christian and Hinduism or Muslim or whatever faith today. Why? Because the whole system or the whole church today has become a shamble. It's all so mixed up. Is that right? That there is no longer the glory of God seen in all these churches anymore. But only the little light that still spark in the life of the true believers. Huh? Like it was in the days of Elijah. Remember, he thought he was the only prophet left. Huh? The whole Israel looks like they don't care about God no more, and they all turn into worshipping idols. Huh? And Israel is supposed to be God's glory, God's people. But he's no longer there. And even so much as Elijah said, I'm the only one. Where is the light of Yahweh in Israel? And God says, I still have 7,000. They did not bow down to Baal. But they're all scattered here and there. You see? So as a whole body, it's not there. That's the reason why Christ, when he come to set up, then when the glory of God would then shine forth in the days of his, the age of regeneration. Second Chronicles chapter 8. Here is Solomon's activities. He only not only built a house of God, but his own house. And then also he gave cities to Hiram, the one that, you know, who supplies all his needs for the timbers from Sidon, Tyre, and all this. And Solomon gave it to him. It also went up to Hamath Zobah, verse 3, and prevailed against it. Now let's look at this map here. And so you can look at the size. Now this is the kingdom of Solomon. Now this part here on the north, Hamath, and here of course is the river Euphrates. He conquered this area, as well as Zobah in this area. And there are city here on the edge that he also built. He built up the city, and he built up some part here also in the region of Beth Horam. Now, his kingdom extended so far. This is Phoenicia, and this is where this many of the city he gave it to Haram. Okay? So in his days, King Solomon is pretty rich, well known and visited by all. Down in the south, we have, right here in the south, is a seaport. And he has a lot of ships. A navy, a great navy in that day. Alright, let's continue. Now in verse 7, as for all the people that were left of the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Havites and the Jebusites, which were not of Israel. Now these are the ones that will make servants to Solomon. They serve Solomon. Alright? But of the children of Israel, Solomon make no servant for his work. Of course, after all, they are your people. Alright? So you don't make them slave in any sense. But those that are left over of those giants or those Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites, they were the ones that were not of Israel. They were the ones that served King Solomon. But all those that belong to Israel, they either make to be captains and chief priests and things like that. As you can read all the way down, which we are not going to do that. Alright now, verse 14. So this is what Solomon did, and he appointed according to the order of David his father, the counselors of the priests to their service, and the Levite to their charges, to praise and minister before the priests as the duty of every day required. And the porters over also by their courses at every gate. For so had David, the man of God, commanded. Now, before King David died, of course he talked with the son, of his desire, what he wanted to do for the house of the Lord, what should be done throughout Israel. And you know this, that the order that King David gave to Solomon is being kept. The priests, all the different groups, or what we say, siblings of Levi, under Aaron. They all will have a group, and each group will take their course to do service in the tabernacle. Or in the temple. And this thing continue every year, taking their turns. And so the Levite as well, and so those who have duties at the gates. Alright. Verse 16. Now all the work of Solomon was prepared, that's number one, unto the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, and number two. And until it was finished, that's number three. So the house of the Lord was perfect. Now, you see, the thing is that to prepare the house, to build a house, you need preparation. Then you need to lay the foundation. And then you build it up to finish it. Then when all is finished, then it's perfect. by putting all the necessary furniture. Now likewise, the same thing, we are the house of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the church. We are the house of God. And do you see how important it is that Jesus came and He prepared Himself to build a house? Whose house we are? Is that right? And He established the foundation. And He's going to finish it. Do you believe it? You believe it? After all, He's the order, the finisher. He has to be. He started a work in us. He will finish it. And that's why sometimes we find it that okay, we're going to finish it. We take a little, well, easy course. We take a little, you know, easy. We don't think so much of it. But you know one thing? We cannot take things easy. Like we just, you know, God will do everything. Leave it to God. Give it to God. God will do everything. But remember this thing. The Bible says God works with men. God works with you. God will not force you. Huh? Remember there's a song that says, walk with me, Lord, walk with me. Talk with me, Lord, talk with me. So if you don't want to go and talk to the Lord, you don't want the Lord to walk with you, what else is there? Huh? Those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were talking and fellowshipping together, and here came a stranger, you know, and talked to him and joined them and talked. And they were talking, they were, you know, that's what fellowship is all about. Communication. Now, in the fellowship here, like Brother Orson said, after the service, they disappear. Huh? Don't grow so fast. Where is communication? Hang around a little while, for a few minutes, communicate. That's fellowship. Now, today, it's very common for many people to go on the internet. They don't want to go to church, you know. They want to stay home, they go to the internet. Okay, visit this church they have online, or visit that church they have online. Huh? Listen to it, 5 minutes, oh, boring. Check. They went to another site. And see what this one to say. Oh, boring, go to another site. I mean, that's not fellowship, you know what I mean? You see, fellowship is one, but the other thing about fellowship is with God, and that's why we need time. We need time to communicate with God. Preparation. That's why God sent us a message. Even for the going home, even for the Christ already, you know, already prepared the work to build a house, He laid the foundation, which is He is the one whose life is given to us, and He's going to finish it, we know it. But the church is not ready to go. And so He sent a message to give us. And only what the message, okay, what we do? We come back to the Word of God to have the foundation laid. A lot of people say, I heard the message already. But you know one thing that's true. You heard what Brother Osa said about some of the crazy doctrine that they have? Claiming doctrine. So just because you are a believer, I mean, this is a Branham-Mike doctrine anyway. They are the mercy seat now. You know, that's where all this strange thing about Barabbas is the mercy seat. Mercy is off the throne. Huh? There's no more mercy now. Huh? It's off the throne. Now mercy now is in Barabbas. You've got to believe Barabbas. Barabbas died now. He's this white man that came from America who knew Brother Branham. So they are the mercy seat. Then they went to the Philippines. They preached and the preachers became the mercy seat now to the people. And all you have to do is your father and mother who are not believer, you can claim for them. It's just a Catholic. That's no different. Huh? Once you get into all this ease, when you get into all this wrong spirit, you get all this false doctrine. So we're going to come back. God has given us a message to prepare us. Come back to the Word, have the foundation. Is that right? Then when the foundation is laid properly and Christ begins to build into our life. And we need to communicate within the Word of God. That's why we need to fellowship with Him. Don't work so hard that you don't have time to talk to God for a few minutes. Huh? Don't study so hard, right? They don't have time to talk to the Lord for a minute. Right? Now remember there is a song sang by, you probably heard it. Wait a little longer, please Jesus. A few more days and something like that. Are we to see our loved ones safe? Well, that's good. A few more days to see our loved ones safe. But what have you been doing? If the Lord is coming, Lord, Lord, wait a little longer. The rest of us say, shut up, man, we are going. You ask him to wait a little longer, a few more days, because I must get ready. It is too late. You know, he cannot wait a little longer anymore. I mean, that's some man, wow, right? Wait a little longer for my loved one to go. But what have you been doing about preaching and sharing with your loved ones? You see? So, there is no such thing as telling the Lord to wait a little longer anymore. When the time is come, the Bible says, when the fullness of time is come. When it's come, means it's come. You cannot wait no more. You see? Huh? Right? Your due time in those of you who are pregnant with child. Well, it's 9 months and the doctor says such and such the date you expected. It might come, the child might come 1 week early, man. He just wants to see the world. Huh? And of course, there are those that delay themselves. Say, oh, I don't want to come out. I'd rather swim inside there in my mother's womb and enjoy that, you know. What else is, you know, but when you come, he has to come, you have to come. Alright, so, prepare. Verse 16. Now all the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of foundation, 2, and finished, 3, and then, so the house of the Lord was perfected. So God is going to perfect us, He's going to deal with us, and bring us to that place. We cannot run away from it. Amen. Alright, let's go to the next chapter here. We have 1 Kings. Alright, 1 Kings 1 to 10. Here the Queen of Sheba, Queen of Sheba. We know this story about the Queen of Sheba visiting King Solomon. But the Bible did not give us detail whether they were actually, you know, married, or whether Solomon had any affair with her. But it seems to be that in history, there's a record of that King Solomon slept with her. You know. Well, as you read this chapter alone, we don't deal too much with Queen of Sheba anyway, but she came and visit Solomon saying that I am not sure whether what I heard is true or not, that you are so wise and you're so rich and, you know, your kingdom is so grand. So I came. Now, where is Sheba? Sheba, some people said, is in Ethiopia. Huh? That's why the king Menelik supposed to be from the descendant of Queen of Sheba and Solomon. But others said that Sheba is supposed to be Saudi Arabia. Okay? And each of these have their own story to tell. The Muslims have their own versions of Queen of Sheba and Solomon. Alright? But apparently we know that Queen of Sheba came, according to the Bible here, she came to find out how wise Solomon really was. So she spent quite a long time, alright, with King Solomon. Solomon would show him this, her this place and that place, and they would chat, and they would eat, and they would talk together, and Queen of Sheba will present riddles to Solomon, and see whether how wise Solomon will be able to solve the case, and so forth and so forth. And in one instance was where she presented to see how well King Solomon's observation is. She presented 10 young kids. They are young. All dressed alike. All dressed alike. Okay? And 5 of them were boys and 5 were girls. In those days, of course, you know, they're just only a rope. Huh? You understand? Long sleeve robe, you know, all the way down. So you can't tell whether they are boys or girls. They are young kids. Okay. So now, he brought them before, this is just one of the versions. Okay, we don't know how, there are many different versions. Okay, this is just one version. Presented to Solomon, and Sheba, Queen of Sheba, had his servant put up a basin of water. For each of these 10 kids, each of them will have their basin of water. And ask them to wash their hand. And then ask Solomon to observe. And to be able to say, can he tell which of those 10 kids are girls and which are boys? Alright, so Solomon watched them wash their hand. Then Solomon said, these 5 are girls and these 5 are boys. How was it possible? That he tell, that you know, that he could tear them apart. Well, the reason he's given is that when girls wash their hand, they will fold up the sleeve. What has boy does not? Boys can't be bothered. Little girls are more or less. This is one version. Another version is the same thing, 10 girls, 10 boys, and they all dress alike, the same, it's the same thing. Now, the Queen of Sheba throws some kind of a candy, some nice candy on the floor, and asks them to pick it up. Now, can you tell whether they are boys, which one are boys, which one are girls? And King Solomon watch and see. Okay, so these five are boys, these five are girls. How? Well, the boys are the ones that when they take all this candy, they will pick them up and put them in the garment, you know, and just wrap them up, exposing their legs. But the girls, they don't. So this, okay, so this is one of the, well, presentation, you know, so we don't know how true whether this is or not, because there are a lot of things are written about Solomon, and many times you can see that the Jewish people are quite humorous in the thing. And well, there's another time was when the Queen of Sheba came to King David, with flowers, and in those days he said that you know half of them were real flowers, half were not, half were artificial, but they look so real. Okay, they all have scent, you know, have scent, and presented to Solomon to find out which one are the real flower, which one are not. So all I have to do is that bring it to the garden when all the beasts have to come, and then Solomon said, this one are real, this one are fake. Why? Because the bee goes to the real one for the nectar. You know? So, some of these things are over there, you can read about it, which is pretty interesting. That's the wisdom of King Solomon. And there are other riddles which are kind of a little funny though, but they are good. Alright. Let's go to verse 13. Verse 3 of chapter 10, sorry. And Solomon told her all her question, which was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. It means that Solomon actually answered every of his question, even about universe, about many, many things. Okay? That's how wise Solomon must have been. Huh? In verse 13, and Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servant. So she went back very happy. But according to claims, expressed by the Ethiopian, that the present emperor, that they have, supposed to be a descendant of King Solomon. And that Sheba actually went home pregnant. Alright? I won't be surprised if it is true anyway. You know, Solomon after her! Wow! How many wives does he have? Well, you know, a whole lot. Let's go to verse 21. Let's go to 21, alright? And all King Solomon drinking vessels were of gold. All the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted in the days of Solomon. So the king had a sea, a navy of Tarshi with the navy of Hiram. Once in every 3 years came the navy of Tarshi bringing gold and silver, ivory, apes and peacocks. I don't know why he want apes anyway. But those were the days people are fascinated with exotic animals. He has a great navy. Now go to Tarshi. Tarshi is in Spain. Huh? It's Spain. Okay? He had this navy that he joined with the king of Sidon, that is Harum. And so they bring gold and everything from the other parts of the country. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. So now when King Solomon ruled at that time, he was 20 years old. He built the house of God and furnished it and dedicated it 8 years. Together with his building of his other house, altogether in that period of about 20 something years. So by the time he's about 40 odd years. Huh? So he is considered at that time the wisest of all kings of the earth, richest of all kings of the earth. And of course Solomon represents Christ. Huh? When Christ comes, he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and all the law will flow from Jerusalem. Think about it, okay. And he brought every man his presents, vessels of silver, and vessels of gold, and garment, armor, spices, horses, mule, a rate year by year, and Solomon gathered together chariot and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bested in the city for chariot and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king makes silver to be in Jerusalem has stones, and cedar make he has a sycamore tree that are that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, linen, yarn, and young, and kings, merchants received the linen young at the price, and the chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And for all the kings of the Hittites and all the kings of Syria did they bring them out for by their means. So they all came to Egypt, came to Jerusalem, paid tribute, and they come to hear the wisdom of Solomon, you know. And throughout the reign of Solomon, there was just peace. So we all see. Chapter 11, here now is Solomon's wife. Oh my. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Strange women. What do you mean by strange women? It's because they look weird. We have yellow hair, brown hair, blue hair, purple hair like we have today. Yeah? Of course, you know, there's punk. And you can see a punk man marry a punk girl. But if you see a normal man marry a punk girl, that's a man marry a strange woman. Or maybe a strange man marry a weird woman. But you see, but what are these strange women? It means any foreign woman. That's for what it actually means. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, they all got relationship with Israel. But Zidonian and Hittites, they have no relationship with Israel. Of the nation concerning which the Lord said unto his children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their God. Solomon clapped unto these in love. Oh, he just loved those chocolate colored women. You know, Auburn, Ethiopian type woman. You know, people find, if you look in Song of Solomon, he described about the color. Oh, beautiful black, brown, whatever color. You know, some people are fascinated with that. So Solomon perhaps had white all the way to black. All these varieties, you know, he just married them. You know, we're not supposed to, well, you know, not about hybriding, but you're talking about hybriding religious. You are people, we are supposed to be godly people, you're marrying those people who are not godly people. Huh? The Hittites some more. You know, just imagine that, the Hittites. Those of them on the line of Canaan's people. That's no good. But he married them. And God told them, they would turn away your hearts. And today, you know how true that is. How can we marry, how can any believer marry an unbeliever? And hopefully to turn their hearts around towards our faith. There's no way. You've got to wait. You've got to talk to the person first. Huh? You see? Even to marry a Methodist or a Baptist, you make sure that they come to this faith first. I know they believe in the Bible, they believe in Jesus, that's wonderful. But you need to know that you cannot walk together, because the doctrines of faith are different. Oh, Jesus is the same. Hey, the Catholics say the same thing, we believe in Jesus, why don't you marry a Catholic? Then sooner or later you will be following your wife doing the sign of the cross. That's true. You know, they'll draw you away. And he had one, oh my. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, 1,000. Wow, that's just only a round off figure, you know. We don't know how many. It doesn't matter. Oh, but that's a lot of wives. 700 plus 300 concubines. And his wife turned away his heart. Sure. Everyone is said, please, my Lord, please. Today is my day with you. Please come. And they take her, she would draw him to the shrine. Huh? Or those who have just newly married, please, you love me, right? Build me a shrine to what God asked her of. You know, look at all this strange God that they have. Huh? Look at all these strange gods that they have. Okay, Ashtaroth. Oh, that's Ashtaroth. It's just, look at our cherubim. Okay? And we have this one, well, Milcom, or Moloch. It's the same. It's a cow, it's a bull. Well, anywhere that India, this seems to me like India. They are all, you know, there's all this cow, bull, that they offer that the child and sacrifice the child, you know? They sacrifice the child and they worship it. Child sacrifice. And they're terrible. Oh, yeah, I might say, yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? Oh, there it is, you see. And well, here's another one that is also, this is Mukon, also another version of Moloch. So the child is, I guess, being fed inside the, into this fire here. Sacrifice the child. Kill it and sacrifice it. And, wow! You see, King David loved this strange woman and married them. And they build, and he had to build them all this kind of altar. Altar. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wife turned away his heart after other gods. How old is old? Solomon died at the age of 60. He's not old. Huh? You just imagine that. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of Zidonian, after Milcom, the abomination of the Amorites, and Solomon did evil in the eyes, in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, which of course is Moloch thing, is one of those god things, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Moloch, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrifice unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And I commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept thy covenant, my covenant, and my statute, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it, for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the land of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give thee one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Why Solomon? Well, he's wise, but when it comes to a woman, that's the problem with men! Huh? Listen, huh? Isn't it true? You know, I don't know why, today we see a lot, I mean, this is just, not just American, but I believe that the influence came American to Singapore. And you see young people, secondary one or two, having boyfriend, girlfriend, holding hands. Holding hands so much so that after that, the other hand holds a cigarette. You ever seen them? Yeah. Young kids. You know. And you see how many of them got pregnant, and then what did they do? They secretly go and do their own abortion. They don't want to go to the clinic, all this, right? They do their own abortion. Until they bleed, until they even die. Young people. Very emotional. I guess King Solomon, after he had all the riches and every wealth, all this, you know, the king come different lands, came to see him from different nations, came to see him. Of course, they bring their daughter with them. You know, all these pagan countries, all these pagan kings, they have motive up their sleeves. Huh? You have your daughter married to a rich king of another kingdom. Of course, you must have some, you know, you have some relationship with them. You hold relationship with them. Hopefully to be protected by others who is coming against you. You know. So King Solomon, of course, well, in his 40s, 50s, too young. And start to marry all this. I wonder sometimes whether you call this love or not. Or it's just because of the, you know, the desire, physical desire. you see, you married. For no other reason than just for the pleasure that you get out of marriage life. Alright, we'll end just right here. And we'll continue next week. We just want to just introduce you. And then after this, King Solomon ceased to exist when God raised up adversary against him. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today, for this little time that we have. We thank you for your grace, Father. Be with us, Lord. Help and guide us too, Father. From day to day, we see this world that we live in such condition, in such mess. We know, Lord, there's so much attraction as in the world today also, Father. How true that we can spend hours and hours on the televisions, go watch movies, and go play computer game, or together with the cares of our studies, our work, because we want to achieve and get better, and so much so that, Lord, we have no time for you. But Lord, we pray that you help us too, Lord, and speak to us, Father. Speak to us and stir within our heart, Father, Lord, the time when we appear to be cold. May thy word, O Lord, spur us, Lord, and strike a flame in us. We thank you for grace once again for what you have done for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.